A team of reporters led by the Associated Press has documented more than 1,000 deaths over a decade that occurred after police used force that is not supposed to be deadly. This kind of force, known as less lethal, is what killed George Floyd in 2020, sparking a national reckoning over policing. Medical officials did not blame all the deaths that reporters documented on police. What all the encounters did share? Force that was not broadcast by the blast of an officer's gun. That included physical restraint, tasers and batons, chokeholds, body blows, and other less lethal tactics. For years, the federal government has failed to effectively track these fatalities. The database of cases created by AP, Frontline, and the Howard Center for Investigative Journalism programs at the University of Maryland and Arizona State University provides the deepest look yet into these non-shooting deaths.
It's a critical look, but it's also a 360-degree look at what happens during these deadly police encounters.
That's John Sewer, one of the AP reporters who contributed to the database.
Not all of them are George Floyd-type deaths. Not all of them, though, are situations where the suspect was doing anything violent or over the top. A lot of these cases were where someone was just walking away from police or being evasive. They weren't really in the middle of some fight.
It's kind of wild when you think about it. Police, that's one industry where they are allowed to use physical force on the public. And yet the degree of mere record keeping, like, well, how often does that happen? In so many places, they can't tell you.
That's AP reporter Reese Dunklin.
It is very disjointed what information is publicly available from authoritative sources. The government's supposed to track this, and multiple times the federal government has not done a great job. What they have isn't publicly available, and what they have is incomplete. Some states keep something, some don't. We were told time and time again, if we wanted to know about cases like that, we would have to call every police agency in the state and figure it out for ourselves. Even in the smallest state, that's a lot of phone calls to make. In a number of states, the laws passed by legislatures give police departments immense discretion to decide what to release and what not to release to the public.
States are supposed to report these to the government, but they don't. I should say they all don't. The government doesn't enforce that or require them to keep reporting it. There was no record of this, and we had to build our own database. There are some databases out there that track this just through media reports. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to have public records, court documents, police reports, autopsy records, just to verify the information.
When you start to read cases over and over, when you start to watch the video over and over, you can begin to see the incident go into the ditch. Uh-oh, this is heading in a bad way. This is not good. And yet the officers are misreading what's happening here. We saw this so often with what they call prone restraint. That's where officers put someone face down on the ground, frequently with pressure on top of their back, their neck, their shoulders, their head. And they usually start this to handcuff the person. But sometimes, rather than promptly cuffing them and moving the person onto their side or sitting them up, like many of the guidelines have recommended for decades, they keep the person face down and they stay on top of them. You can begin to see the person go still. They start to get quiet. And the officers perceive that as, okay, he's finally calming down. He's finally listening to us. He's following our order to be still. And then he stays down. He stays down. And when they finally roll him over, check his pulse, they realize the person's non-responsive. Person's unconscious.
There are pretty clear guidelines on when to use a taser and when not to use a taser. There are clear guidelines on when to get someone off their stomach after they've been handcuffed. And yet we see officers routinely violate those policies. And these policies have been in place for decades. And yet we continue to see that mistakes were made repeatedly.
We looked at all incidents where lethal force was used and then there was a death. We didn't go into it just saying, we only want to know about the ones where John Doe was minding his own business and he was roughed up. We said, let's look at them all and let's understand what that tells us. It tells us sometimes, yeah, force is necessary. And these tactics, when they're used properly, can be safe. They're not inherently dangerous. What John and I and the others have been noticing, though, is despite these long-standing best practices that the policing industry has, some officers are making mistakes in using these weapons and using physical force in ways that the government industry groups have been telling them, don't do it like this. This is high risk.
We have a lot of cases where people were on drugs or they were in the middle of a mental health crisis and they weren't even able to fully comprehend what the officers were telling them. And it just makes for a very volatile mix in those cases. And then we have some that, you know, maybe the person was just talking back or trying to walk away from an officer, not listening. And then those become all of a sudden a violent struggle where the end result is a death. It's not easy to pinpoint one thing and say, this is what needs to happen. But without knowing the details of how broad this is, why this happens, that's what needs to be known so that you can prevent these kind of deaths, or at least help prevent them. They're not all preventable, obviously.
That's why we need the data. That's why the police should want to share more information and be 100% transparent, because in some of these cases, as we dug in on them, you could see the circumstances were dire. The cops are in a position of trying to intervene and save someone's life. When you have the opportunity to see that or see that video, you better appreciate what the police go through.
In general, police departments set their own policies and they're in charge of their own training. There's a lot of training that goes on, but we see that in hundreds of these cases, police didn't follow their own training or their own policies. Sometimes that happens because it's a quick developing violent situation, and maybe they have to do something that isn't a best practice at that point, but they're trying to save a life. But then there are plenty of cases where a person was handcuffed and controlled, and yet they were hit with a taser or they remained face down long after they were under control.
We're dependent on them to tell us accurate information. And as our team has seen, police departments frequently obscure their force. They use very vague language to characterize what they did. Like, the suspect was taken to the ground. The suspect was subdued. So what does that mean? Does that mean you used your stun gun 5 times? Does it mean you used your baton and hit them in the head, which is considered deadly force? The reports don't often say, so we're really at the mercy of police and local police to be transparent with us, and it just doesn't always happen.
This has been the story behind the AP story. I'm Jaime Holguin. For more on this investigation into police force, visit apnews.com.